Welcome to Nutrition Genius Radio. I'm your host, Laura, the Sassy Dietitian, along with my good nutrition genius friend, Marie, aka Pearl. And we're here to explain why coconut oil is better, bacon is the king of the world, and butter and garlic will bring about world peace. Disclaimer, the views on this podcast are not meant to be substituted for medical advice, but are for general information only. Let's dive in.
Hey, girl, hey.
What's shaking, bacon?
What's shaken is that we are going to be together in, like, probably less than 72 hours.
What? Watch out, world.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited, too. There's going to be so much happening. You guys are not going to believe it.
There's going to be a lot coming out on our blogs from all of this. A whole weekend together. I'm so excited.
This is going to be the best weekend ever.
Is that
a movie? Because if it's not, let's make it.
We need someone to, hey, nutrition intern, who wants to follow us around with a video camera?
Exactly. All well, JJ has a really snazzy camera, so let's have him do it.
He does.
He'll photograph us, which means we might need to put on some makeup.
Yeah, look like normal humans.
What's that? Anyway, anything new
I
happening?
I wish they could see the faces we were making right now.
We're both like, makeup? What's that?
Ew.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Seriously.
Although, you know, we look beautiful without makeup, so maybe it'll just be au naturel. Pearl and Sassy at their best.
Yes, agreed.
But yeah, friends, we're getting together in the upstate New York. We're going to be hiking. We're going to be eating. We're going to be learning. We're going to be cooking. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
It is. So. A lot of fun, and it's going to produce a lot of content for you guys to see.
Yes. I'm so excited. I hope you guys are just as excited as we are. If you listened to last week, we asked you for your questions, so we're still taking questions. Please post them on any of our social media sites, any of our websites, emails, text us, whatever. We're open for it because we want to bring you content for what you want to learn. Don't laugh at me. You know I say weird things. Oh, God.
Actually, I don't care what they want to learn. I just want to talk about what I want to talk about. Isn't that what this was about? Our selfish needs to talk about our lives?
No, it's not. I'm laying the hammer down on that.
Narcissistic personality disorder.
God, this is where I cut you off. All right. Anyway, anything new in Pearltopia? Anything I should be aware of? Anything our listeners should be aware of? Because, once again, it's not about us. I want to know everything, but...
Our listeners should be aware of the fact that I am driving to Albany this weekend. Shocker, I'm going out of town again. What did I do last weekend? Oh, my college friends came to town. We had a blast. Nothing crazy going on right now these days.
Cool. What'd you eat for breakfast?
I had steel cut oats. And then I mixed a little bit of almond butter in there. Or not almond butter, I'm sorry, it was cashew butter.
Wow.
And then topped it.
Lied
with...
a little bit.
And then I topped it with cinnamon. What did you have for breakfast?
I actually didn't eat yet because I know. When I get out of bed, this is what I do. I wake up and I pour a huge glass of water and I put magnesium powder and lemon in it because I need to get everything flowing. And then I make a cup of coffee with coconut milk and cinnamon or pumpkin pie spice.
I love coconut milk and coffee.
Me too. And I make a little latte out of it. And once I'm done that, I normally, like, I'd probably be eating right now, but this is obviously more important. So as soon as we're done, I'm probably going to eat eggs with leftover pulled pork in it. And did you see my picture on Instagram? I got purple and yellow cauliflower. So fun.
That's fun.
It was like psychedelic almost. I'm not really sure what that is, but it felt like I was in the 70s.
Sounds trippy.
With all the colors. So I'm going to have some of those in there. I just love colors.
So do I.
So.
Maybe I'll have eggs for lunch. I wasn't really feeling the steel cut oats this morning.
Yeah, I feel like varying it up is, I have to. I get bored.
I don't know how you are podcasting without a breakfast, though. I wouldn't be able to do it.
I feel like it's just my routine. Like, I feel like I eat breakfast a little later. And right now, JJ's been getting home kind of late, so I feel like we're not eating till 8:39.
Oh, okay, that makes
sense. So I'm also, like, not starving in the morning, so.
Yeah.
But, whenever... I normally eat late breakfast, late lunch, and late dinner.
No, whenever I eat late like that, I'm not hungry in the morning.
Yeah. But anyway, I figured people would want to know what we're eating, because why not?
Yeah, agreed. What's going on in your life beyond what you're eating or not eating for breakfast, rather?
Well, I will be eating breakfast, don't you get me wrong. Did we do anything this weekend? Wow, that's bad. I don't remember. Oh, I hung out with one of my friends this weekend because JJ was hiking in the High Peaks without me. I'm not bitter.
Oh, rude, sir.
I know. He was like, it's 18 miles. You might not want to come. And I was like, fine. I'm uninviting myself. I didn't want to come anyway. So me and my friend basically just like hopped around the Albany area and we checked out the Del Mar Farmers Market, which was super cute. And we ate these little, I don't know if you've ever had them, but they're like, have you seen a tomatillo? It's like, yeah. It's in a, like one of those flowery things and it's green. Yeah. Well, these are like really
ground cherries.
Yes.
I just got them at the farmer's market.
Oh my God.
I'm writing a blog post about them today.
Oh my God. We're literally,
why are we the same person?
We're literally the same person.
These, I had no idea what they were.
Me neither. And she had had them before and literally I was popping them like candy. They were so good.
Yes.
So, yes, they're right. Ground cherries or mini tomatillos, whatever they are, go to your farmer's market. They're, like, really hot right now. They look like little flowered, like, green flowers.
I will put a picture up of them on Instagram.
Yes, please do.
Right now.
Okay, perfect. So, you guys go to Perlo Nutrition and check them out. They're so delicious. And it was so cute because the booth that we were at, there's a little kid and he was standing in line and he was so excited. Like he looked like a kid in a candy store, but it was a farmer's market. And like my heart was melting. I was like, yes. Aww, I was like, can I like hug your parents? Because like the fact that you think this is candy is amazing.
Right. And that's how it should be.
Yeah. So, oh my God, we live parallel lives.
I can't believe that.
Hilarious.
No, that's what happened to me. I had no idea what it was, and I was so confused. And she was like, do you want to try one? Of course.
Right.
The answer is yes.
The answer is always yes. You want me to try something? Twist my arm.
Right. So I'm going to put two pictures up. One is going to be what they look like in their little casing or whatever it is, and then the other is what they look like peeled.
Perfect. Can't wait. Our listeners might have to go back a week.
Oh,
because we normally record a week ahead of time. So go back a week and check out Marie's and like all of her photos because be cool like that. We appreciate stalkers.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Social media stalkers, not
really. Social media stalkers.
Please don't stalk us at home. That'd be really weird. all right. Should we get into our topic of the day?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 I feel like at one point I should probably just put the music in so we don't have to.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about sports nutrition 101. So we've had a lot of questions about what should I eat? You know, I'm an endurance athlete or I'm a this athlete or I work out. What should I eat before, during, after, yada, yada. So we figured we're both super passionate about this topic. And since both of us used to be athletes and I think we are still athletes in some way, shape or form. So we wanted to give you kind of a series on sports nutrition. So today we're just going to go over kind of the basics, like what an athlete is, what kind of diet we should look for, other lifestyle factors, and just some tips to take away with you. And then at the end, we'll kind of tell you other topics that we'll be going into, so that way you can look forward to them. We wanted to kind of space them out, so that way we're not giving you everything at once. And even though you probably love hearing us in your earbuds, we don't want to overload you, because we want you to learn, and we want you to take away what we taught you. So anything to add to that, Marie?
Sorry, I'm over here Instagramming.
Oh, that's cool. Hi. Hi, I'm here.
No, definitely. We do love sports nutrition, so we're ready to teach you.
Sweet.
Educate you. Fill your earbuds with less than nonsense.
Well, I think they love some of our nonsense.
Plus nonsense.
We are here to educate, but we are also here to entertain.
Yeah, exactly. Because honestly, this is a way, it's like just a sad way of the United States at this point, but I almost feel like all we care about is entertainment anymore. So anything that we want to do or have to do, or if we're doing something in our free time, it has to entertain us in some way. So, you know, why not? Let's provide some
agree.
Information and do entertainment too.
It's just like, I've noticed
like
that
right now, a puppet.
You're a puppet? Dance puppet. Is that a thing? Hello, puppet. Oh, there's so many things about puppets. Great. Okay.
No, that's pop it, not pop it.
Pop it.
Yeah. Poppet.
Poppet.
Hello, Poppet. No, P-O-P-P-E-T. Oh, we had a word. What was our word? Oh, I know. Hold on. I'm going to look it up.
We're going to do a word.
Tell them.
We're going to do a word of the day. So a few weeks ago, we did imbibe, right?
Yep.
And we want to learn with you guys. So while you're probably reading a ton of nutrition articles out there that we want to debunk for you and completely demystify, there's also a lot of words in there that you're like, what in the world does that mean? So Marie has a good one for us, if she can find it.
I got
it. I had no idea what it was either. So take it away, Marie.
So this is a word that I found actually when I was reading a journal article, a nutrition journal article. But the word is abrogated, and that's the past tense form of abrogate, which means to repeal or do away with, such as a law, a right, or a formal agreement. Used in a sentence, a proposal to abrogate temporarily to the right to strike. That's like a really complicated sentence, and I feel dumb.
I mean, you're a nutrition genius, not a word genius, so we'll let that slide.
Oh, and then according to Merriam-Webster, there's a couple more. So to end or to cancel something, as in a formal and official way, to fail to do what is required by something such as responsibility, to abolish by authoritative action, like to do away with, I think, and to repeal is the
so
good.
So we need to abrogate McDonald's.
We do. We need to abrogate.
You know what else we need to abrogate?
Vegetables. Cereal.
And cereal. Look at this. We're using it in sentences. I feel so smart.
Same.
I think people should hashtag
Thank
us.
You for reframing that. Hashtag.
Nutrition Genius Radio.
Don't abrogate Nutrition Genius Radio.
Yeah. No, hashtag Nutrition Genius Radio, but use abrogate in a sentence.
Yes.
Completely yeah. Confuse the social media world. With your newfound word.
Yes, agreed.
Oh, that was fabulous. Okay.
What thing? I'm going to tweet that. What do we need to abrogate?
We need to abrogate McDonald's.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they emailed me and asked me to come to an event, and I was like...
Oh, my God. No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. And I said, sorry, I'm busy. And I'm not, but... I know that they want to show me.
What was their reasoning behind wanting you to come?
I think it's because I've put a lot of tweets out there about McDonald's and how they just frustrate me because, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning and the line is wrapped around the entire building. And I'm like, what are you doing? And people have pointed out, well, you get free coffee every now and then. And I'm like, but that's the point. You're still supporting them. Like I just, right. Sometimes I'm willing to spend more money on food because I know that it's going to the farmer. It's going to a good source. If I'm keep spending the money on McDonald's or Walmart, I keep fueling that business.
My God, I don't even think spending more money going to the farmer's market, I spend significantly less money.
I agree.
For local organic produce
yep.
than what I would spend if I went and got organic produce in a grocery store that was coming from God knows where. And you know that it's going more directly to the farmer. It's cheaper in the long run. So, yeah, I don't even think it has to be more expensive.
No, it's just...
And it's using less energy to get from point A to point B, so there's less pollution to it, too.
There's an article about that. We'll link to that for our listeners. There is. Okay. It's something about the... I don't
energy
know if,
costs.
Yeah, the energy costs, but it's also about how, like, vegetarianism is fueling, like, some of the destruction of our environment or something to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll send it to you, and then we can link it to our lovely listeners.
Okay, cool.
But that's I think that's a good lead-in, because we will be talking more about how a good, healthy diet is going to help our athletes. So... Mm-hmm. Let me start with just kind of explaining the different kind of athletes out there, because I think people get frustrated when, you know, we have our Ironman athletes, right, that are running, swimming, biking, you know, they're absolutely insane in the membrane, but that's what they do. But you have your top endurance athletes, athletes that are going for a long period of time doing cardio, so something like running, swimming, biking. And then you have your Olympic lifters who are going for really short bursts of heavy movement,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going for a long period of time. And then you have people who kind of fall in the middle. You have your fitness athletes, people who are just doing this to stay fit. But I think you all classify as athletes. It's just a different kind of athlete. So I want you to kind of figure out where you fit. Are you someone who's working on training for marathons, which we don't endorse, but if that's what you do for fun, I mean, I'm not going to stop you. Those who just do Olympic lifting and don't care about the endurance side of it. And then those that kind of fall in the middle doing the fitness, whether you're on a kickball team or you kind of run every now and then, you're in a CrossFit gym, but you're only doing it 3 or 4 times a week, that kind of thing. And the reason this is important to understand is that each of you are going to need a different set of like fueling macronutrients. Macronutrients are our carbs, fats, and proteins. Go back and listen to our first few episodes where we talked about all three macronutrients. And we will go into further detail for athletes in the next few episodes, but you each need a different kind of makeup of your diet, because when you're doing long duration movements like a triathlon or Ironman or marathon, you're going to need different fueling than someone who's doing Olympic lifting. When you do fast burst movements, you rely more on your carbohydrates. When you do long, slow movements, you rely more on your fat stores. So it's all going to, you're going to need a different makeup. If you're someone who really wants to excel, you're going to need help figuring out what to eat. And I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm not saying you have no idea what to do, but you need an outside opinion. And that's where me and Marie come in, and not to boast our services, but we understand the difference between an endurance athlete versus an Olympic lifter versus a track athlete, or, you know, all the different types. You need a different makeup. You need different timing of your nutrients. So that's what we're here for. So certainly look at our blogs and contact us and set up an appointment with us, because this is what we love to do. We love to help athletes succeed, and you're all different. You're all beautiful, but you're all different. did you have something to add? Or no?
Well, you said not to boast our services, and I was like, excuse me, this is our podcast. You can boast all you want.
Okay, so boasting our services. We're dietitians, and this is dietitians get a bad rep.
Dietitian slash nutrition genius.
Yes, slash nutrition genius. And we focus on the real food approach, but we focus on you as an individual. So there's no one diet fits all, like we've said before. And it does, once again, depend on your physical activity level, your body composition, and your goals. I mean, if you're fueling yourself for an endurance event, but your goal is to get stronger, you're fighting against yourself. And that's where we come in. You know, people ask me, oh, I'm drinking a protein shake and I want to lose weight. I'm like, well, you're just hurting yourself, right? You're not, your goals aren't lining up. You're drinking all this extra liquid crap, for lack of a better word, and you're not seeing weight loss. Well, right.
You mean everyone who goes to the gym doesn't need protein shakes?
No, dear all Marie's past boyfriend, you do not need protein shakes. So, and that,
write things up and put them down.
Okay. And that also brings us to, there's females and males, right? So if you're training with a partner who is not the same gender as you, then you shouldn't be doing the same thing, probably not even workout-wise. My guess is that you have a trainer, you're not doing the same workouts, because females and males look at each other. You look completely different. Now, that's a good thing, right? We're supposed to. We have different purposes in life, and that's getting way too philosophical. But
boys are pretty.
Boys are pretty. JJ is very pretty. Okay.
JJ's anyway. So pretty.
I hope he's not listening. He's going to get creeped out. But anyway.
I can't wait to creep him out this weekend.
Oh, it's going to be all weekend. And you know him. He'll just have that like dumb smile on his face like, okay. But females tend to have less muscle mass than males. We also have more fat mass, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Like females, and we will get into troubleshooting of the female, what's known as the female athlete triad in a different episode, but females should have more body fat composition. It's not a negative thing. We need those fat stores for our hormones, and a lot of females end up losing their period when they are training intensely. And I know some people are like, ew, why'd you just say that word? But it's true, and it's a real life thing, and we're here to help you. So if any of this starts to ring true and you're like, I don't know what to do, I really want to improve, contact us. That's what we're here for.
And not just as far as like losing your period goes, but I think that sometimes there's the desire to be so perfect kind of can go to the other end of the spectrum towards eating disordered behavior. And that obviously is not something we want to happen to you guys and, you know, something we want to prevent. So by having someone else that's working with you on these types of things and can ensure that you're getting sufficient enough energy to fuel this movement that you want, it's definitely important.
So that totally reminded me, I had this horrible swim coach back in the day, and it was like my freshman, sophomore year of college. And he used to come up to a lot of us and like bring us to the side. And I lost a good amount of weight going into college because I was used to my mom's, I was used to her cooking. So I went to school and I was like, ew, I don't want any of this dining hall food. And I was walking to class and I was training 20 hours a week. So all of that combined, I did lose weight. And I would never consider myself to have an eating disorder. I love food. Like, there was never a point where I was severely under eating. My coach pulled me aside and he goes, I think you have an eating disorder.
What?
And I think that was, he did it to most, a lot of people. And I found it destructive on both ends because it was destructive to the girls he told. And it was also just destructive to the girls he didn't tell. Because girls, we feed off other people's opinions, especially when you're, you know, a freshman in college, right? You're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to find your place in your sport or your wherever it is.
And your life.
Right, and your life. And here he is telling me that he thinks I have an eating disorder. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm still eating. Like, my mom sends me pumpkin bread every other week because she knows I need food. Like, it's not that I'm not eating. It's just I wasn't eating appropriately. And so instead of him finding a teaching moment to say, okay, girls, like, let's sit down, let's find a way to make sure that you're fueling yourself for your performance. He just created this destructive cycle of saying, oh, you have an eating disorder, but you don't. So the girls who he didn't say it to were like, well, then am I overweight? Like, and it just created this really, really bad dynamic. And
that sounds absolutely awful.
Right. And that's another point. Like, sometimes your coaches and your trainers, they're really good at getting you fit at your sport, but they don't have that nutrition knowledge. And so if your coach or trainer isn't someone who's certified to do nutrition, you may need another expert outside of it, because it's no offense to them, but I don't know how to train people in lifting or running. So
right.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to refer you to a trainer or a coach. And I think that should be, you know, a two-way street. They should refer you to a dietitian.
I've also found that the, you know, obviously you guys know at this point that I work at an eating disorder treatment facility, and I've found very quickly that the language used with someone who has an eating disorder is significantly different from the language that I would use with a different type of client, like someone, for example, who has diabetes. So even just down to something as simple as that, it's important to have someone who knows what they're talking about.
I agree. And me and Marie have been in very different settings throughout our entire training. You know, we've been in low income, normal income, we've been in the city, in the suburbs, we've seen it all, and we've had to interact with a lot of people, and we really care about you guys. Like, we want you to succeed. And doesn't matter if you have an eating disorder or don't, or have fitness goals or don't, you know, we want you to succeed in whatever your goals are. And I think we should probably have a podcast on goal setting. I think a lot of people struggle with that. They say, oh, I don't have goals. And I've been one to say it too, because you're like, oh, I'm just living my life. But I think it's important to know what you're achieving. We're human, right? Anyway, so.
We are aliens. You're getting very philosophical right now.
I am. I don't know what it is. It's because I'm so excited to see you. I just don't know how to wrap it all up in a phrase. And you know I wouldn't get the phrase right anyway. I said something yesterday and I was like, I should have documented it. It was so bad.
Oh God.
One of my friends was like, that's not. Oh, oh, it was about, you know, like it's the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
So we were talking about something like I was the rabbit and she was the tortoise or something. And I was like, well, if you're the rabbit, I'm the hare. And she looks at me and she's like, that's the same thing. And I was like, oh, yep. Yep. You know what I meant.
Oh my God.
So anyway, so there's a lot of different athletes out there. You're all different individuals. So what works for your mom may not work for you. What works for your boyfriend may not
just
work
like
for you.
Just like your mom said, you're different. You're special, honey.
Exactly. And that's meant with all the love and
that
whatever
your mom gave to you when she said those words.
Exactly.
And because you are different, Laura and I will treat you different.
Exactly. And Marie and I are different. We have a lot of similarities, which is really creepy, but
Oh my God, I can't believe the ground cherry thing this
I know.
Weekend.
What it's are great. Our lives? I can't wait to see what happens when we're together.
Like, oh, it's gonna be.
Will the universe just explode with excitement?
I think so.
Okay. That's pretty much
if
what's
you guys
happen.
Don't if this podcast doesn't ever reach your earbuds.
We're sorry. It's our fault. So, Marie, now that we know that there's a lot of different athletes out there who need a lot of different fuel that we will eventually talk about, what is kind of a general ideal diet for an athlete?
Well, Miss Laura, so athletes, when we're – you think about, like, what happens to an athlete when you're working out? Your muscles get sore. You get tired. Your joints get sore. You're stiff.
I lift things up and put them down.
Not if your knee hurts. So you have basically what ends up occurring after exercise is you have a lot of inflammation going on in your body. Your body's trying to heal itself. It's trying to fix, you know, the little tears in your muscles, and it's trying to build new tissues. So you want a diet that's going to help support that. So you need an anti-inflammatory diet, because I think that that's really your primary way to heal yourself after, activity. So what is an anti-inflammatory diet? Well, essentially it's adding in those fruits and vegetables, especially. I also forgot to add that our bodies produce I'm thinking reactive oxygen species.
Are you thinking of free radicals?
Yes, thank you. In my head, I'm like, reactive oxygen species, they're not going
to
understand.
Marie likes to overcomplicate things. I like to oversimplify things. So together, yeah. Hopefully it'll be a combination of simply not convoluted. That's not whatever, you know.
Thank you. So you need antioxidants to combat that. So eating your fruits and vegetables is definitely super important, making sure that you have plenty of those in your diet throughout the day, not just a – I think that, you know, we've gotten into this habit of let's eat cereal for breakfast and then a sandwich for lunch and then dinner. Oh, okay, I'll have like a protein, a starch, and a vegetable. And then you don't eat – without even realizing it, you only had one vegetable all day long.
That's what I tell all my clients when they ask. It's so funny because a lot of people ask me what I eat for breakfast, which is why I decided to ask you this morning. But exactly, like, I have vegetables at every meal. And if I don't, I'm, like, missing it.
To be honest with you, I typically did in, like, a situation like this morning when I had steel-cut oats for breakfast. I would grab, like, a couple. I have some little farmer's market carrots that I got, and I would just grab a couple and eat those, yeah. You know, like, as I'm driving to work or something. But I'm the same with you. I eat vegetables at every single meal. And I do think that that's important for our clients to do. And it's easy. You know, whether it's something like I would do today of just grabbing a couple carrots on my way out the door, or what Laura's doing to this morning with adding vegetables into her eggs. It's not as difficult as I think some people make it out to be.
Well, I think the reason people find it difficult is that they have this idea, and I used to be like this too, so you're not alone, people. You have an idea, like Marie said, of what is breakfast, what is lunch, and what is dinner. Yes. And we can't get out of our own heads that it doesn't matter that you eat eggs for dinner and steak for breakfast. There's no rules. You just want to eat this anti-inflammatory, high antioxidant diet and eat it throughout the day.
Yes.
So you could have steak and eggs for breakfast, and for dinner you can have eggs and bacon. I don't care. I mean, but you want to find ways that you – vehicles for your vegetables, especially those who aren't huge fans of vegetables. You know, make a meatloaf. You can hide so many vegetables in a meatloaf. Make eggs. Make a frittata. You can hide so many vegetables in those vehicles.
And actually, we can add these to the show notes, but Laura has a meatloaf recipe on there, and I have a egg bake recipe on there.
Look at that. So. God, I didn't even know that. I didn't even mean to do that.
That's awesome. Yeah, so we can add links in our show notes of those things. It's easy ways to incorporate new vegetables. And also, I think just learning how to cook vegetables, because everyone – it's like you were saying before about how if you ask your clients what they absolutely wouldn't eat and their answer is always liver. I think that a lot of times people complain a lot about vegetables and vegetables get a bad rap. But if you just learn how to cook them in a proper way, and it can be something as easy as one of my favorite ways to cook carrots, for example, is just chopping them up, adding a little bit of olive oil, salt, and dill, and then roasting them in the oven.
Yum.
And it's delicious. It's so easy and right. So good.
I have to say, roasting vegetables, I think, is my favorite way to eat them. And
absolutely.
I agree with you. My clients will say the same thing. And I'm like, but what are you eating? Are you eating, like, frozen broccoli from a package that you microwaved? Like, yeah, I don't want that either. That doesn't taste good. So it's exactly finding ways. And Marie and I, as we go on, we're going to be posting more recipes. And these recipes are going to be full of anti-inflammatory fruits and vegetables and meats, because that's pretty much what we eat. And it's kind of, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you are kind of confused about other things beyond just these fruits and vegetables that might be anti-inflammatory, you can go back to, I think it was episode 6, which is our superfoods podcast. And we talked about a bunch of foods on that podcast that are, would be helpful for this anti-inflammatory diet.
So I love that you pointed out for their diet to first add things in, because I think when a lot of people think about diets, and I'm using quotations, they start thinking about what they can't have.
Yes.
And I think that's so destructive, because now you're just focusing on the things you can't have instead of adding in all the things you can have. So I think I love that approach of add more fruits and vegetables, add good quality meat. And now let's start thinking about what things should we start eliminating or start cutting back on.
Right. And this isn't a process that needs to happen overnight.
No.
Sure, Laura and I would love it if tomorrow you woke up and decided you were never going to drink soda or anything like that ever again. You were never going to have any sort of added sugars. We would love that. But we also know that it's not realistic.
It's not sustainable.
No. No, absolutely not. You know, I love brownies. I'm going to be honest.
Well, and if you think about it, most of you are not five-year-olds listening to this. So you have 20, 30, 40, 50 years behind you of undoing that you have to do. You know, if you've been drinking soda your whole life and you just try to go cold turkey, well, chances are you're eventually going to add it back. So let's just cut down on how much you're having.
Right.
Did you talk about vegetable oils?
No, that's so... You know, we talked about the adding the fruits and vegetables. Things that you want to start cutting back on are going to be your sugars, your added sugars, and read your food labels. And Laura and I have said this before, but if you're reading something that has any more than 5 ingredients on the label, you should probably put it down and walk away. But sugar can come in like 15 different forms. I actually have a box that one of my friends left here over the weekend. And so here, I'm just going to read a couple examples of what sugar could sound like on or sugar carbohydrate, I guess, could sound like on a label. Sugar, pea starch, potato starch, white rice flour, tapioca starch, glucose. That's it for this one.
But still, for one box, it's got how many different kinds of starch or sugar?
Right. And BT Dubs, that is a gluten-free cracker or cookie, animal cook. It's an animal cracker. It's a gluten-free animal cracker. So just because something says gluten-free on the label doesn't mean that it's healthy.
Gluten-free is not a health word. It's,
no.
It's now become a fad that they're making money off of, and I hate it.
I agree.
Because I'm, as most of you know, I am gluten-free, but I'm not. But the thing is that I don't even realize that I'm gluten-free, because what am I buying that says gluten-free? Nothing. I'm buying meats, vegetables, fruits, you know, nuts, seeds, things that shouldn't have it anyway. My favorite is when it says water is gluten-free. And I'm like, you're just trying to make a pretty penny off of this.
Yeah.
Like, I hope water is gluten-free. I hope it's sugar-free. I hope it's a lot of things free.
Yeah.
Like,
agreed.
Slash water should be free, so.
Right.
Ba-dunch. I'm here all week, guys. But that's a good point about sugar. I actually think I have a good article on that we can post, and it's got the list, like a good comprehensive list of how sugar shows up in ingredient labels. For instance, maltodextrin is sugar, but I didn't even know that. And why would the normal general population know that? They wouldn't.
Sucrose, also fructose, glucose.
Oh, my least favorite. Can you guess?
Maltose?
No.
Your least favorite.
That people think is healthy and don't realize that it's a sugar.
Cellulose?
No, now you're just getting too complicated. Brown rice syrup.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like, that's my least favorite.
Brown rice. Is your brown rice syrupy? I did the are your vegetables oily to someone the other day. Speaking of, so moving on,
okay,
then,
moving on.
To the vegetable oils. Are your vegetables typically oily? No. So then how in the HE double hockey sticks do we get vegetable oil? Laura and I are trying to tone down on our cursing.
Yes, we want this to be completely PG. No, G. We want it G.
G. And, you know, like making dietary changes, it's really hard to make changes in the way that you've been speaking for such a long time. Anyways, so vegetable oil, your vegetables aren't normally oily. It takes a lot of chemical extractions and a lot of energy and gross manipulation to these vegetables in order to produce vegetable oils. And really, they're not vegetables, they're seeds a lot of times that they're using for
right.
it.
It's
rapeseed.
Yeah, rapeseed. Rapeseed is what canola oil comes from. And if you Google how canola oil is made on YouTube, which we can link to that too, it's unbiased. So you're not actually – no one's saying like this is an awful process. But just like step back and watch it and they're like, and next, the canola oil is mixed with hexane and finally it's bleached. And I'm like, who would want to put this in their body?
So after all of these manipulations that have gone on, you basically just have this product that's already rancid. And then we're going to put it in our bodies, and it causes a state of inflammation. There is our long-chain fatty acids. You have a couple different forms of the polyunsaturated kinds. And so you have the omega-3s, which are your anti-inflammatory ones. And you also have your omega-6s, which can be precursors to pro-inflammatory molecules. Now, we need both omega-3s and omega-6s, but we need them in the appropriate ratio. And what's been happening with us having this excess of vegetable oil is that we're getting too much omega-6 and not enough omega-3. So it's creating a state of inflammation in our body. So it's important to cut back on those oils that are higher in the omega-3s so that you, or excuse me, higher in the omega-6s so that you're not getting this balancing act out of whack.
Balancing act out of whack.
No, it was rhyming.
That sounds like a rap in the making.
A nutrition rap?
Yes.
Maybe that's what we should do this weekend.
Oh, it's happening.
A nutrition app. Oh, we should totally do like some sort of video podcast.
Oh, yes. This is going to be glorious. Glorious.
Yes.
So, all right. So, we want an anti-inflammatory diet. And the way we're going to get that is add our veggies, add good quality meats, add fruits, and cut out those nasty sugars and vegetable oils.
Yes.
I don't know why I got that creepy voice, but...
And we're not saying not to eat any oil or fat at all. We just
no.
want you to use good quality.
Because you know why.
Right.
We are friends of fat.
We are friends of fat. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go back to podcast numero dos. That's two in Spanish.
Thank you. Thank you, because I don't know any Spanish.
No habla español.
My old roommate, Veronica. Shout out, Veronica. She probably not
Veronica!
Listening. Love
oh,
her.
Yes,
she used to, every know. Night, she would say... Oh, crap. Now I'm going to forget. She used to say, buenas noches. Is that good night?
Buenas noches, yeah.
So I'd always go, good night, Veronica. And she'd go, buenas noches, Laura.
I love it.
She's my little Mexicana.
Aww.
Love her.
That's fresh.
I know. She's super fresh.
Cute.
All right. So now you know you got to figure out what kind of athlete you are. And now you're kind of figuring out what general diet, you know, if we can't get to you right away or you're not ready to sit down with us, this is a good general diet. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be good for not just the crazy endurance athletes. It's also going to be good for our crazy fitness athletes as well.
Right. So the other thing that we wanted to talk about is the fact that it's not just – your sports performance is not just dependent on your nutrition and obviously your training. There's other things that come into play with it, including, I think most importantly, sleep. So, Laura, do you want to jump in on the sleep?
Sorry, I was just sleeping. What? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so sleep is so incredibly important. I think a lot of people – don't focus on it because a lot of people are under the impression that they can sleep when they're dead.
Ugh,
and
I'm so sick of hearing that.
Me
argument.
Too. And I think Americans,
you're going to be dead.
Right.
Because you don't sleep.
So sleep is you want to figure out how much sleep you need and you want good quality sleep. So just because you're in bed for 10 hours doesn't mean that you're actually getting good quality sleep. Right. And there's many ways that we can go about doing this. So I generally recommend minimum of 7 hours. And that's for my people who are only getting like 5 or 6. And I start them out and say, okay, 7 hours. We need at least 7 hours. Because what happens in the first 4 hours of sleep is muscle recovery. So physical repair. And for our athletes, those first 4 hours are incredibly important. And we want to get that sleep probably starting around 10 o'clock. I know people are like, but I have to watch The Tonight Show. Well, just get Hulu Plus and you can watch it.
Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix,
DVR.
Whatever.
DVR right. is what I was.
Right. TV will live on. You will not. So that was really gruesome. So
also of notable mention in that is if you're drinking before you're going to bed, you're not getting that good quality sleep. Even if you're only having, I think I read an article once that was saying that even one drink can impact your sleep quality for up to 4 hours beyond that.
Oh, that's miserable.
Yeah.
And drinking can cause what Marie was talking about, some free radicals, which causes some inflammation. Mm-hmm. So if you're someone who relies on alcohol to go to bed, you're destroying your career as an athlete.
Yeah,
just going to tell you that. And so after those first 4 hours, you end up going into mental repair. So more of your, like, you know, your brain and everything else that needs to function for the day. So for you to be able to focus, for you to be able to have the mental capacity to race, to think about racing, to think about lifting, to communicate with yourself and others. You need right. that extra, the next 4 hours for that. And if any of you have ever pulled an all-nighter or tried to pull an almost all-nighter for exams, you know that you're not functioning at full capacity. You can physically sit there and write, but your mind is not there. So I highly recommend 8 hours if you can get it. Start with 7. If you're someone who's like, whoa, I only get 5 and I can live on 5. No, you can't. You're just telling yourself that.
Right. And also, I think the other thing that happens is that people get so used to living at this baseline that they don't realize what their life could potentially be like. And I think that this happens a lot with nutrition and diet, too, is that your quality of sleep or your quality of life, really, and like how you feel on a day-to-day basis, just it declines so slowly that you don't notice it, and then all of a sudden you just feel like crap. And then when you change your diet or you start sleeping more, you have this amazing reaction. And you know, I've had people tell me before, Marie, I didn't even realize that I felt bad before.
Right.
And it's just amazing, like how different it feels. And so I think that along with nutrition, it happens a lot in people who aren't getting sufficient sleep.
Yeah, and I think that rings true for your diet and other lifestyle factors as well. We all are very good at adapting. So we're very good at saying, oh, I feel good. Well, think about how good you could feel if you slept 8 hours and you ate a good diet and you hydrated. I mean, it's amazing what your body can feel like. So why not do it for yourself?
Right. And there's a connection too between what our hunger hormones in sleep. So getting good sleep helps to regulate our hormones. We have two in particular, leptin and ghrelin. Ghrelin is the one that like signals to your body that, hey, I'm hungry. And then leptin is the one that signals that you're full. And so when you get appropriate amounts of sleep, these hormones are regulated. When you aren't getting appropriate amounts of sleep, then they're not. And you could, I mean, I think everyone's probably experienced this. When you don't sleep well, your food decisions are typically pretty poor. I know for myself it happens. You know, I feel hungry all the time, and it's not always even a physical, like my belly's growling hungry. It's just kind of like a mental hunger constant, but it's not easy to shut down.
No. And if you perpetuate it, it just gets worse and your hormones no longer function properly. And it's just a downfall. And so think about not sleeping and then not eating well. Now think about adding drinking to that equation. And I think a lot of people ask me, they're like, but why can't I drink? Like the Italians drink a glass of wine every night and they're fine. And I'm like, but the problem becomes is that you end up drinking. You end up drinking probably more than you should. You end up sleeping really badly. And now you wake up feeling like crap. And what do? You now eat poorly. And so it's just, and the cycle perpetuates itself.
Right. Because
you're like, okay, now I feel better. I'm going to start drinking again. And it's just over and over and over again. So you're never going to reach your full potential as an athlete if you keep perpetuating this cycle.
No, and I mean, you guys know, I've said this to you more than once, that if you go to my Instagram, you know, I love drinking just as much as the next person. but there's just a time and a place for it. And if you're an athlete that's training for something, it's just an unnecessary addition to your diet.
Yes.
And not just unnecessary, but detrimental.
Very detrimental. So, you know, if you're okay being a mediocre athlete, then keep doing what you're doing. But we want you to be great athletes. I want to see you on TV and be like, yeah, that person eats well, sleeps well, you know, the whole shebang. So after sleep, we also have to remember to hydrate. So I find, I don't know if you find this too, Marie, women are very good at hydrating because we like water bottles. we're like babies.
Have you seen those things lately? That's like what basic B words do.
No.
Oh my God, it's really funny. Can I say it and then you can just bleep it out? What basic bitches do?
Okay, I'll have to bleep
you. So out. Like the pumpkin spice latte is total basic move. Yoga, total basic thing. So
okay, I can't bleep you out forever.
I'm sorry. I feel like water bottles are one of those things.
And it's so true. Anytime I give a lecture, I always look around and all the females are sitting there with their like pink, purple, blue water bottles, right? And the guys are sitting there with maybe they have a Deer Park water bottle, but generally they don't have anything. And for whatever reason, women just, we're like babies. We just love our bottles. So, so that's great. Like, I encourage that. I have no problem with that. And I encourage guys to do the same. I know JJ won't drink water unless he has his water bottle with him. And since he just did an 18-mile hike this past weekend, the previous week, I sent him with his water bottle and I said, you need to fill this up twice today. Mm-hmm. And you need to, and you know, he's like complaining. He's like, oh my God, I had to run to the bathroom. And I'm like, I know, but you need that hydration. And you don't need to overhydrate. There is such a thing as overhydrating, but I think a lot of people forget that they need to hydrate, especially athletes, because you end up depleting yourself through sweat, through urinating, through your feces. There's so many ways that you lose water. And for athletes, your muscles need that hydration, need that water to fuel. Your joints need it. I mean, if your joints don't have enough fluid, you end up creating more wear and tear on them. And nobody wants to be out of the race because their knee pain is so excruciating, all because they forgot to hydrate.
Right. So, and when you're an athlete too, like you were saying before, that you have more muscle. And so in your muscle, you store glycogen, and storing that glycogen and all of the other things that you need to have going on in order to build those muscles requires more water. It draws water in with it. So it's definitely super important to remain hydrated with athletes. And I think that, like you were saying, carrying around a water bottle is definitely really important. I know with one of my clients before, who was just really particularly awful about hydrating, I actually took a piece of paper or like a sticker and wrote times on the water bottle. So she knew that by, you know, 12 o'clock, she had to have X amount of water drink.
That's
so crazy. Yeah, it was definitely helpful, you know, because you look at it and you're like, oh, crap, it's 12 and I haven't done anything yet. And then you just chug it right there.
Right.
So.
And another point is that protein needs water to be broken down as well. So if you're consuming a good quality protein, like your meat, we've talked about this before, you also need to hydrate. So if you're just eating all the meat, chances are you're not going to be absorbing it and digesting it as well if you're not hydrating your body as well. So Maria's catching a fly in her hand. I was ready for you to eat it.
Entomophagy.
I could see that happening. So,
No, I think it's because I have all these this produce from the farmer's market around, so there's these tons of, like, little fruit flies in my apartment now. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, we had to take our trash out yesterday because of that.
Yeah.
It's fine, but ain't nobody got time for gnats.
No.
Speaking of ain't nobody got time for.
Perfect segue.
Wow. So
that was great.
Can I ask this question today?
Sure.
Marie.
Yes,
what is Ain't Nobody Got Time For this week?
Ain't nobody got time for Gatorade.
Did you say Haterade?
Haterade.
Oh, that's what I thought. That's what I thought you said.
Haterade. So these Haterade and the majority of the other rehydration beverages are out there are a crock of crap. And full of crap.
Literally. Full of crap.
You know what? Look at your Haterade bottle. That's a great place to look for what a different form of sugar might look like, because so we absorb different sugars at different rates. So these rehydration beverages will add a couple different types of sugars so that you're getting them to your muscles at different rates of time. Because, you know, if you think about it, sometimes you need a little bit of a slower carb. And then when you're exercising right there in the moment, you need something really quickly. So they do have that benefit, but there's other ways to do it where you can have more natural ingredients and you don't have these artificial flavors, or excuse me, flavors and colors that have other detrimental neurological issues coming along with them.
And there are ways to make your own rehydration drink. So JJ's friend was asking him, he really is focused on his nutrition, but he's an endurance athlete. He likes to bike a lot. He likes to hike a lot. And he's like, you know, I rely on my Gatorade because he needs that fast liquid energy that doesn't Right. require digestion. And there Right. are ways to make it yourself with real ingredients, ingredients that you know are going into it. So we're not saying that you don't need rehydration drinks, but you need to start thinking about, this is also a food. This is an item that you're putting into your body. So how can we make it closer to what your body can actually utilize and not cause that toxic load that Marie was talking about?
Right. I think that is just something that we should work on, is a rehydration beverage recipe.
That'll happen this weekend. Guys, okay. The things that are going to happen this weekend, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If any, you know, interns out there want to come hang out and and document our life for the weekend.
It'd be super helpful.
That would be so helpful. My gosh. Ain't anybody got time for Haterade? We're going to call it Haterade because that's how I feel about it.
Agreed.
So finally, I just want to touch real quick on the importance of stress management and rest days. So as athletes, we all tend to think that more is better, right? If I work out 2 hours, then 4 hours is probably better. You know, I'm going to beat my athlete or beat my competition because I'm working out more than the next guy. Not true. You, just like we were talking about sleep and how you recover during sleep, you also recover during your rest days. Now, I know personally, I can't sit still, and I'm pretty sure Marie is the same.
Mm-hmm,
so
absolutely.
Finding ways to de-stress via an active rest day. So something like walking, something like a light hike, something like a swimming, not unless you're a swimmer.
Right. I was just going to say, and I think that's the key there, is doing something different than your normal activity. If you're a runner, jump on the bike and relax when you do it. You know, if you are a swimmer, then go for that light hike. But doing something different from your norm to give your body a rest.
And not putting any pressure on it, like you were saying. Like, I know I snowboard, and I snowboard for fun. Like, I'm a very competitive person when it comes to sports. I think I always have been. But something like snowboarding is my outlet. Like, I don't attach any results or outcomes to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care if I have a good day or a bad day because that's my relaxation. Like, it's like, for whatever reason, it's very therapeutic. Like, a lot of people say surfing for them is very therapeutic because you're not attaching a desired outcome to it. Mm-hmm. So use that as your active recovery and take a rest day. You should at least have one rest day a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it's once a week, and then every other week is twice a week. I mean, that's how you're going to improve. And decreasing the stress is going to decrease those free radicals, which are causing all that excess inflammation. And you're going to end up being better than your competition because you're going to have utilized that rest day appropriately. And on this rest day, don't give yourself – I hate when people say, oh, well, it's my rest day. It's my cheat day, which I hate that word.
God.
So then go eat whatever you want. You have to know that if you have athletic goals, that this day counts as well. And okay. I think you're going to do more good by focusing on your diet than your exercise. So,
mm-hmm.
Call us nutrition geniuses, but we might know a thing or two.
Just a thing or two.
Just
though.
A thing or two. Anything to add to stress management or rest days, Marie?
I think stress management, I think you'll certainly find that if you're sleeping better, then your stress management and your ability to handle things in the situation will certainly improve. But maybe also adding in something like, you guys need to stretch your athletes. And I think that that's something that a lot of times people forget. But I think that stretching can also be pretty therapeutic and like calming and help to release some of the tension that you have. And then just doing things for yourself that you really like to do. Like go and get a massage. It's totally okay.
Yes.
Your dietitian says so.
If you need a good one, I have a good one in the Albany area. Her name's Christine and she's amazing.
Oh, nice. I don't have one out here.
She has magical hands.
Put it on the list. the million things to do. And even just, you know, finding what it is that's relaxing to you, whether it's reading a book or taking a bath or doing something to just de-stress. And sometimes just, like, sitting with ideas of, like, okay, this is what happened today. I'm going to think through it right now. We worry a lot. And, you know, I'm not a therapist, so there's certainly other people who could help you with this much better than I can. And I encourage you to go and find those people if this is something that you struggle with. But there's just a lot you can do to de-stress, whether it's just like thinking about something and play it out in your head. What's the worst case scenario that could happen right now? Because we all worry about things and then it never really comes through to actually happening. So play it out in your head. What's the worst case scenario that could actually happen? And if that scenario happens, is it really that bad? Like in 5 days from now, is it really going to be that bad? That argument that you might've gotten into with your coworker, you know, it's just, we worry a lot about things that aren't necessary to worry about or aren't really going to happen.
I have a quote.
Yes, ma'am.
Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never really gets you anywhere.
True. I appreciate that you looked that up so that you didn't screw it up.
Yes, because I was sitting here for a while in my head and I was like, dang it, I know the first part of this, but of course I don't know the last part of it. But I love that quote. Someone once told me that because I think I tend to be a worrier and I tend to do what you were talking about. And I have to teach myself exactly, like, you know, sometimes not even thinking about the worst case scenario, but thinking about the best scenario, like think about what could happen if I just got out of my own way. And it's a daily struggle for me because I'm totally the person that I'm like, I'm a phony. People aren't going to believe me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why think that way? And that goes for athletes too. Like, I know that my best swims were when I was like, yeah, you know what? I can beat that girl. She may be 6 feet tall and twice my size, but why can't I beat her? Mm-hmm. And how good would that feel if I could beat her? Yeah. So think about the worst case scenario and then say, you know, the heck with that.
Yeah.
Like, what's the best case scenario? And start thinking positive. There. Oh my gosh. Have you seen that?
I think the pop.
Sorry, I got really excited.
No, I was just going to say, I think that the positive thing is super important in keeping that positive aspect. I guess what I was getting at with the think about the worst case scenario is that typically we worry about things that just don't matter. And so when you play it out to that worst case scenario, you're like, oh crap, this really isn't that bad.
Not a big deal. Exactly. So have you seen this YouTube video? It's this adorable little girl. She's probably like 4 years old. She's got these blonde ringlets and she's standing in front of the mirror and she goes, I like my house, I like my clothes, I like my mom, I like my dogs.
No.
Oh my gosh, I have to post it. So it is the cutest thing. And our coach showed it to us, I think senior year of college, and he's like, you know, you don't have to be this crazy as a like the 4 year old. He's like, but literally looking in the mirror and telling yourself, like, look in the mirror and say today that, you know, I'm going to do this and it's going to be fun. Or I love my husband, or I love my clothes, or I don't care what you say. But honestly, doing that, now you're like in a positive, happy mood. And watching this video will just, you can't watch it and not smile. It is so adorable.
Laura and I both do something that I think is super helpful. And it's when you wake up in the morning, write down 3 positive things that you have going on in your life or 3 things that you're grateful for or thankful for. And just have, I really do believe that, like, when you put positivity out there, it comes back to you.
I completely agree. And I think the days I don't remember to do that, I almost have to stop in the middle of the day and be like, why am I dragging my feet? And I'm like, it's because I didn't think of what the good things are in my day. Because we all focus on, like, oh, I got in a car accident, my day sucks, or, oh, like, I spilled my coffee all over myself. But you know what? That happens to all of us. It's not some conspiracy to make your life miserable. Like, that's just what happens. So why don't we focus on, like, I have a really great relationship with my dog. I mean, it doesn't have to be a person. Like, who cares? You know, if you have all
me
cats.
Me and Kate are doing great.
Right. Exactly. So I love that. And I think a lot of people can benefit from that. So
yeah. Agreed.
Cool.
Now so we're off on a tangent.
I think people love our tangents. If you don't like our tangents, well, then why are you listening? So let's do some takeaways and some concluding tips for our listeners, because we want you to be able to use what we said and be able to apply it to your daily life. Because I think that's where a lot of people lose it. They're like, okay, I understand, but how do I do it?
Right.
So Marie, how can people take what you said and run with it?
So I think most importantly is working on that anti-inflammatory diet. So add in vegetables at every single meal. I know that that is It can be difficult, but if all that means is you're eating one carrot extra at every meal, I'm going to be happy. Totally. I don't expect you to change your diet overnight, but just start slowly incorporating more vegetables into it. And then at the same time, you need to start decreasing the added sugars and the vegetable oils in your diet. So if you're the kind of person that drinks soda all day long, replace one soda with water. Replace one soda with unsweetened tea. Something, whatever it is that you choose that doesn't have those added sugars and stuff in them. And then just go from there. If you can do that for a whole week, then move on the next week and replace two drinks. Take your time with it. Don't expect that, you know, things are going to change overnight. And don't beat yourself up if you have a stumble.
No. Love it.
What's your tip, my friend?
So my tip is on the sleep side of things, because I'm obviously obsessed with it. But
same.
So what I recommend is setting a goal for yourself with sleep and go to bed the same time every night. So ideally, it would be probably around 9 or 10 o'clock for most people. But say that you're normally a night owl and you go to bed at 12:30. Well, why not set a time for 12? Every night at midnight, you get in bed and you go to bed. That doesn't mean you bring your iPad or your iPhone or your iCloud with you. You bring nothing. You go into a dark, cool room and that's it. Lights out, be a child, give yourself a lights out time. And I think if you become consistent, you're going to get more quality sleep.
I also think one thing that we didn't touch on, which I had intended to earlier, is this concept of sleep hygiene. Mm-hmm. So that is doing things like Laura said, by having a set standard of this is what it's going to be, but also having like a nighttime routine. I know for me, my nighttime routine includes a glass or a cup of tea. So it's something that I'll have like within the half hour before I go to bed. Every single night. And so it just kind of gets you into a routine and it tells your body like, okay, now it's time for me to start shutting down. Another thing that is really important is avoiding exposure to blue lights at night. So this includes from your TV, your computer, your iPad, your cell phone. That when you see the blue light that is coming off of the computer, in your head, your brain thinks, oh, this is the light from the sun because it mimics the same wavelength. So that messes with our brain chemicals. There's a chemical in our brain called melatonin that our body secretes, which helps us to get into this like tired, I'm going to fall asleep. And the emissions from this light actually blocks the secretion in our brains of melatonin. So it makes it more difficult for you to fall asleep. So shutting down electronics at a set time, I think that 8 o'clock is reasonable. I know it's hard for people to do earlier than that. I would certainly love to see earlier than that if that's a possibility. Definitely avoiding that exposure. And there's also apps that you can download on my computer. I have this one called Flux. It's Flux. And on my phone, I have one called Twilight, and it just mimics the hour of the day. And so as it gets darker outside, then the screen will start to darken itself so that it helps to block those blue light emissions. Based on what time of day it is. So, like, if it's night, am I explaining myself properly?
Yes, no, you are. We'll obviously put links in the show notes, too, so people can try them out themselves.
Yep.
So I think we are completely out of time.
Yeah.
So this was just a beginning series of sports nutrition, hence why we needed to obviously put it into a series, because we could talk for hours about this. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the macronutrient, micronutrient breakdown, which is your protein, fat, carbs, and your vitamins and minerals. We will be talking about what to do pre-workout and post-workout. So for those of you who are really worried about timing, we will be talking about supplements, popular diets, and more to come. So if you have questions, please feel free to ask them. You can ask them anonymously, or you can ask them, you know, with your name attached to it if you want a shout out. Let us know what you're looking for.
Nice. So if you are looking for more from Laura, you can find her at thesassydietitian.com. You can find her at thesassyrd on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you want to hear more from me, you can find me at pearlsofnutrition.com, and you can find me at pearlonutrition on Instagram and Twitter. Nutrition Geniuses out.